Hi, and welcome to A View from the Bed. This is a CHI St. Vincent podcast where we talk to real patients about their healthcare perspective. We know that your healthcare journey can be scary, so that's why we want to get their view on the good, the bad, and the ugly from diagnosis to recovery. Enjoy today's episode. Well, thank you for joining us today for today's session of View from the Bed. We're going to be talking to Missy today, and we're going to learn about her journey with the St. Vincent Health System. So, Missy, I heard that you went through a bout with colon cancer.
I did, yes.
Tell me a little bit about how were you even diagnosed?
I was diagnosed through a freak accident. The accident, I ended up in the hospital. They did a random CT scan to make sure I didn't have any internal injuries. The next day they called and said, we see something on your scans. It looks like it could be Crohn's or colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
You need to get in touch with your gastro doctor and get a colonoscopy. After my procedure, he came in and told my husband and I that I had colon cancer, that he was pretty sure that we caught it in time and that he would get me in with the best colorectal surgeon that he knew. He went ahead and set me up with an appointment with a cancer doctor, also an oncologist. And by the time I got home, the colorectal surgeon had called to make an appointment.
Oh, wow.
So I had an appointment to see him within the next week. And then we went from there scheduling surgery. I had surgery a week later and then started my recovery process.
Let's go back to when you got the news, because, you know, a lot of people are scared to go in for colonoscopies because, mm-hmm. you know, some people, they just don't want to hear a diagnosis.
Right.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about what that felt like when you got the diagnosis that it for sure was colon cancer?
I had been preparing myself and praying about it ever since I got that it could be. When we finally heard it out loud, it just kind of took my breath away for a minute. It was something I didn't want to talk about before I had my diagnosis. I didn't tell a lot of people. So when we got the diagnosis, it was just kind of, it was shocking. But I didn't feel any fear. Mm-hmm. Never once did I feel fear. It was just something, okay, let's get this done and let's get it taken care of and just handle it day by day.
Had you known previously the colorectal surgeon you were being referred to?
I had worked with someone in his office because my mother had used him.
Okay.
I had never worked with the actual surgeon that did my surgery, and I also knew one of his nurses.
Okay.
But I had never met my surgeon before.
And that was Dr.
Zito.
Patrick Zito.
Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. No. So did that make you feel more comfortable since you knew of him?
It did.
In?
It did. It made me feel comfortable knowing that I knew one of his nurses and that he worked with Dr. Burns, mm-hmm. and that it, yes, that made me feel comfortable.
So when Dr. Zito's office called you, how quickly was it from the phone call to when you either went and saw him, or did you go see him next?
Yes.
And then schedule surgery?
Yes.
Or how did that go?
I saw Dr. Zito the next week after their office called. I saw him the next week, and he had asked me, had I met with an oncologist yet or who all I had met with? And I told him that I had an oncology appointment the next week. And he said, well, you're going to have to reschedule because I want to do surgery that week.
Mm-hmm.
So within 2 weeks, he had scheduled my surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What stage was your colon cancer by the time that they found it?
2. It was a stage 2.
Okay. Okay. That's crazy.
Yes.
Did you have a history of colon cancer?
No. No history of cancer.
Any symptoms?
No. No symptoms.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And I was going to wait. We kind of joked about it with one of my doctors because they asked me, have you had a colonoscopy? And I said, no, they just changed the age. I'm past 45. I'll wait till I'm 50.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just kind of laugh it off. Well, the gastrologist told me, he said, had you waited until you were 50, it would have been too late.
Oh, wow.
So
wow.
It was just an accident that, you know, and just a blessing that we found it, mm-hmm. when we did. Because I was going to wait till I was 50.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how many years would that have been from the time?
3. It would have been 3 years.
It would have been 3 years. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Because
yeah.
I was diagnosed at 47.
Oh, my goodness. So yeah, stage two.
Yes.
No symptoms.
No symptoms.
No family history.
No.
You're just going to put it off.
Yeah.
Until 50.
Yeah.
And then, you know, God had other plans.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
You know, as a Catholic organization, we fully believe that God has other plans.
Yes. And he did. He got my attention for sure.
When did you become more open during your process to talk about it with individuals? Was it after your surgery, before your surgery?
Before my surgery, my husband had told me, he said, we were in the living room one night and he said, he asked me if I had told someone and I said, no, you know, I haven't told very many people. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can't pray about this by myself. I have to have help. Mm-hmm. He said, so you need to tell people.
Yeah.
So then I started talking about it more and more. And then after my surgery, I was, okay, people need to know about this. They need to know about the story. They need to know, they need to be encouraged. They need to know that you can beat it. I did not, thank the good Lord, I did not have to go through all of the chemo that so many people do. Yeah. I was truly blessed with my surgery and my diagnosis.
So tell me a little bit about the surgery. So for the surgery, what did they do exactly?
They did it robotically.
Okay.
So he went in and he removed part of my colon, the part that had the tumor, and he removed a couple of inches on both sides. And then they sewed me back together.
Okay.
And I had probably about a 4-inch incision on my stomach and 2 round holes from the robotic surgery.
How long were you in the hospital after your surgery?
I was supposed to be in 3 days.
Okay.
But I ended up being in a week.
Okay.
The first day I went in, I was supposed to have surgery that Monday morning. I came in, got all ready, and then I spiked a fever out of nowhere. They couldn't figure out where it came from.
Oh, no.
So they put my surgery off till the next day. Well, you have to have a colonoscopy before you can have your surgery. You have to do a colon cleansing before your surgery. So I was, please don't send me home. Please don't send me home.
Sure.
And so they admitted me, and the next morning we went ahead with the surgery.
Okay. Okay.
So, and it, we were told it was going to be a couple hours and it ended up being about 7 hours.
Okay.
There was some complications with the surgery and me bleeding. It wasn't, you know, anything that was expected.
Sure.
So, it was a rough recovery.
When you got to the point to go home, how was that like once you got home? So did they have to send, since they did have to remove some portions of your intestine.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have to go home? You know, a lot of people have a fear of like having a colostomy bag and or ostomy bags or
yes.
things like that. So tell me a little bit about like, what did you go home with that maybe you weren't prepared for or maybe you were prepared for?
I didn't go home with either of those.
Okay.
I went home with just a wound vac. Before I left the hospital, they taught me how to get up out of bed and how to position myself. The physical therapist came in and showed you how to get up and how to sit up. I will say that when you have that surgery and when your bowels start working again, you really don't know if they're working or not.
Okay.
So it might be good to wear a diaper for a while.
Sure.
Because you don't know. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happens. But once everything starts waking up and coming back together, then it eventually will get back to normal. It just takes a while.
Okay. Did you know that beforehand?
Someone had told me that.
Okay.
Yes. I asked someone that had a similar procedure done.
Okay.
And they told me, be prepared for this. Also, another thing is I did not start walking the day of my surgery, mm-hmm. and I should have, but walk because I developed an ileus from not walking.
Okay.
And so then that's when they put the gastro tube down your nose.
Mm.
And so that caused a lot of issues also. That's sure. another reason why I stayed in the hospital for quite a while.
Okay.
Well, not really quite a while, but longer than I was supposed to.
Yeah. So that it's so funny. You know, they always say walk
yes.
after different procedures.
Yes.
And you don't realize just a simple thing like walking,
yes.
what it does for your body to get
yes.
it to jumpstart the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
But it is so true.
Yes.
It's yeah. very true.
And it wasn't that we did not know. We were not put on the surgical floor after I had my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I was put somewhere just to kind of get me out of the recovery room.
Sure.
So those nurses didn't know that I was supposed to be up and walking after mm-hmm. surgery.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I got to the surgical floor, that's the first thing they had me do was to get up and start walking.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So by then it was, I had already developed, just in one day, I had developed this infection.
Oh, wow. Yeah. No, that's really important.
Yes.
To move. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
No, it really is. You know, growing up, it's funny. Our moms would always be like, get up and walk. And,
yeah.
You know, walk it off. And,
yeah.
But there's a lot of truth to that.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just jumpstart everything.
Yes.
And get
because
it going.
You don't realize that your bowels are asleep and you've got to wake them up and get everything working again.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there are side effects to that I never thought of.
Well, you know, since everything in our gut just happens,
mm-hmm.
we don't realize they're muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when you take all the anesthesia and things, it puts them to sleep.
Yes.
But they've got to get going again.
Yeah.
And when you're so used to doing things or not even thinking about it, just having those sensations.
Yes.
When you don't have them, you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is weird.
And then the food, they put you on a strict diet because your colon is stapled together. So
sure.
they don't want anything to slip out through the staples or through the holes and cause an infection. So, you know, you're on a clear liquid. And then for a while, you're on clear liquids. And then you can get up to, it's a while before you can eat solids.
Oh, okay.
So.
Like days or weeks?
Weeks, yeah.
Oh. Well, that's good to know.
Yes. So that, you know, and they give you, my doctor gave me a list to prepare myself for. This is what you can eat for the first 2 weeks. This is what you can eat afterwards.
Okay.
And you're not allowed to drive. With my surgery, you weren't allowed to drive for 6 weeks.
That's good to know.
Yes.
So you definitely need to have someone.
Yes. Stay with
you
or help you.
Okay.
You can't lift. The first couple of weeks, I think it was 2 pounds. And then it steadily went up to 15 pounds to maybe 20 pounds. And
oh, wow.
Because they don't want you to hurt your incision or anything to come undone that they've done.
So once you went home, at what point did you go back and see the doctor for your first post-op appointment?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Was there a time where you had to use like a nurse hotline in that 2 weeks to get a couple questions answered? Or did you feel pretty prepared when you went home for that 2 week period?
I don't remember calling the hotline. I remember them calling and checking on me.
Oh, that's good.
I don't remember having to ask anything. They pretty much had prepared me for what to expect when I got home.
Okay. What was the biggest thing that you had to kind of work through during that first, you know, maybe month of recovery? Was it more, obviously, physical healing,
mm-hmm.
but emotionally, how were you doing? How were you feeling during that first maybe month after your surgery?
It was very emotional. I had ups and downs. I'm not one to depend on people,
mm-hmm.
and I had to depend on a lot of people. So many people stepped up and did things for me without even me asking, and I'm just not one to really ask for help. I had times where I was a little worried. I don't like to sit still, so I couldn't really do anything. I did not have any energy for a while.
Oh. I bet.
So that was my main thing, was I just didn't have the energy to do anything. You know, I would think, oh, I'm going to get up and go do it. No.
Yeah.
So even going to the bathroom was a process,
mm-hmm.
you know, making it down the halls and all that to get to the bathroom was a process. You just don't realize how tired it makes you.
Mm-hmm. It is funny how just your energy is so zapped.
Yeah.
After a major surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times we think, oh, we'll just bounce back.
Yeah.
We'll be down for a few days.
Yeah. I told my work I was only going to be off 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And when I told the surgeon's nurse, she kind of lied to me. She said, no, you'll be off at least 6 weeks. And I was like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never dawned on me that, oh, my gosh, it's going to take a while to heal and get your energy back. And But she was right when she told me, you know, it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I think, too, depending on what age you are already as well on
mm-hmm.
how quickly you get your energy back.
Yes.
You know, I'm sorry, but when you get past, you know, 35 or 40.
Yes.
Your energy's not quite what it was before.
Exactly.
And, you know, you're just like, oh, I can do it. And then you're like, no, I can't.
Yes.
I need
your
to
Your mind
let that
says
down.
Yes. Your body says no.
If you are an active person, was there anything you found that helped that you could do that helped take your mind off of the inability to be active? If other active people are out there listening to this, mm-hmm. are there any tips that you would be like, oh, try this, you know, if you have to have a longer surgery? Or
about the only thing I could do, and this is so childish, but it worked, was I colored.
Oh, yeah.
We colored a lot. You know, you have the Bible journals that you color in. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, just getting up and walking around the house and stuff. But now I didn't make many trips outside because it wore me out. And, you know, the first time I went to the grocery store with my husband when I was allowed to be in a vehicle, I had to get one of those carts because you just can't make it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was eye-opening for me because I was like, I'm way too young to be riding around in a motorized
Now, the important thing, you didn't hit anything, did you?
No. I don't think so.
You can either confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope I didn't run into anybody.
Well, you know, it does make you feel like when you have those moments in your life where you have to sit in a wheelchair or you have to ride one of those little motorized buggies, you're like, people look at you kind of strange. And you're like, don't judge me.
I know. Now that makes me look at people differently because I don't know. Did they just have surgery? Did they just have, you know, something going on? Yeah. Or you know.
Just never know.
Yeah.
People might look healthy.
Yes.
And you have no clue what they might have just went through.
Yeah.
Even though you do have those bouts of fatigue, would mm-hmm. you encourage people to still go out and ride the motorized buggy or get in a wheelchair to just get out of the house?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Because, you know, don't sit in the house and think about it. Get out and do things and get your mind off of it.
Yeah.
So get out. I do encourage that.
So when did you know you were officially cancer-free?
I had my surgery on a Tuesday, and the doctor called on Thursday, and he had gotten the pathology reports back and said that he had gotten all of it and there was no more cancer.
That is exciting. So literally in the span of like 2 weeks, you go from having stage 2 cancer, a freak accident, stage 2 cancer, surgery, and then cancer-free.
And cancer-free.
That's amazing. Yes. Yeah. That's amazing. So did you still have to go to the oncologist?
Mm-hmm. I just left there. I go and see her every 6 months just to check my markers.
Okay.
I'll do that for a little bit.
Okay. Will you have to do that for like a year after or a couple of years?
So it was every 6 months for 2 years. She just bumped me to 9 months. And said if everything's good in 9 months, then I could graduate to the year.
Okay.
So.
Well, it's good to know that they continue to follow you.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Now, since you have had the colon cancer, mm-hmm. how will you have to handle colonoscopies moving forward?
Right now, I was going every year. This last colonoscopy I had, he bumped me to 2 years. Okay. But in that 1 year, I did have a polyp, but it was precancerous. So it's good. But yes, I'll see him in 2 years.
Okay.
And then he said we'll go on that treatment plan for a while.
Okay. Yeah. So that's definitely important, you know, after you've had the diagnosis, the surgery, even the cancer-free, mm-hmm. that you continue to follow up with your oncologist, you continue to follow up with your gastroenterologist.
Yes.
For that.
And the surgeon's office will call just to remind me, hey, have you had your colonoscopy yet this year?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they'll schedule it if I haven't, but I've been on top of it pretty much.
Good.
And the thing about colonoscopies, they make it out to be a bad ordeal. You know, years ago you drank chalk and it's come a long way.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because so many people don't even do the colonoscopy because, one, fear of diagnosis.
Yes.
But two, they think it's a, like you said, a horror story.
Yeah.
Of all these things that you have to do.
Right.
I mean, it's not pleasant.
No.
By any means. But tell us a little bit about what it's like to have a colonoscopy nowadays.
To do the colonoscopy, they'll schedule you a prep. They call it a prep.
Okay.
And so there's several different preps out there. There's a Miralax Dulcolax prep. There's Gatorade preps. There's some that you just drink that are already mixed up. No, they don't taste good. But if you chase them with a Gatorade or a water, it makes it better. It makes it better if you put them in the refrigerator and get it ice cold.
Okay.
And then you know, you only drink so much. And then after that, then it's the bathroom part.
Okay.
So within 12 hours, you're done.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
That's not terrible.
Mm-mm. So you can do it. You can work all day, then go home and drink your stuff. And then the next day, you can have your procedure done.
Yeah. And you just don't eat. Do you eat normal on when you do your prep, or do you cut your food off?
The day before you start doing clear liquids.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is Jell-O's and lots of liquids. Lots of liquids.
Okay.
And Jell-O's and broth.
Okay. Anything that can just go through quick.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, the downside isn't bad, you know, if you lose a couple pounds.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, you see all these cleanses that people do with
them. I know.
Like, it's not any different.
No, it's not.
And it's covered by insurance.
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, you go into the doctor and having that procedure done, you forget about it by the time you wake up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like.
And you have peace of mind.
And it's a good nap.
Good nap.
Yes.
Peace of mind.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't kid when they say you're going to go to sleep.
Yes.
I don't even think they finish it and you're out.
I know. Yeah. It's pretty painless.
Yeah.
And then you get to go eat. So.
Yeah. Then you're hungry.
Yes.
And you have plenty of stomach room.
Yes.
Because you haven't eaten in a while.
So it's not near as bad as it used to be, I don't believe.
Well, that's good. What would you tell people that might be in a similar situation? You know, they're not 50. A lot of guidelines do now say 45. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not having symptoms like you were, you weren't having any, even if you don't have a family history, what would you tell people?
Go get checked at 45. If you have no symptoms, still go get checked. I mean, women, we go at 40 to start having our mammograms.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, it's much easier on you if you go get checked than finding out later that you have cancer and you could have caught it.
Yeah, especially, like you said, I mean, you were at stage 2 with no symptoms.
Right.
None. And by the time you probably would have had symptoms, it would have been much more progressive.
Yes.
That is just, that's amazing. Yeah. I mean, your whole story is just amazing about start to finish, how it was diagnosed with your accident.
Yes.
It was just circumstance and God's hand of protection.
Yes.
And then, you know, not having to go through the chemo and the radiation portion, they were able to get it all during surgery. So how does it feel now? You know, when you hear portions of your intestine and colon have been removed, what does it feel like now? Does it just feel normal? Did it ever feel kind of weird?
No, not on the inside. You know, the surgery scars and all that felt different, you know, but you would never know if I didn't have the scars.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything on the outside other than the scars, and it doesn't feel any different.
I think that can be comforting to know that the way God designed our bodies.
Yeah.
Surgeons can take pieces out, put them back together, do it great, and you don't skip a beat.
That's right.
You might have a few recovery hiccups, but other than that, your body just kind of does the rest.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's right.
That's really cool.
I thought going into the procedure and the surgery that it would just be a quick in and out process. I would have my surgery and get to go home and start healing. And then we had a couple of hiccups in the process with the blood loss and the infection. And so that was a little troubling. And that is when I started getting a little down in the hospital. But then my surgeon called at just the right time and gave me the news that I was cancer-free. So then that motivated me to, hey, let's get this ball going and let's get up and get out of here.
Yeah.
And so, but I will not lie. There was a day or two that I was very down from the complications.
Yeah.
But like I said, him calling at just the right time made me so grateful and made me realize this could be so much worse than it was.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a doctor tell me one time, surgeon, and he said, judge your results week to week instead of day to day.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Because day to day, you don't see the change.
Right.
And like you said, you'll have really good days, really down days.
Yeah.
Or really rough days.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look week to week, you can be like, you know, last week I couldn't walk this far.
Right.
This week, I actually sat in the recliner.
Yes.
You know, for 2 hours.
So, yeah.
You know, and so I thought that was really, really magical advice, especially when you have long healing processes that take not just weeks, but months, you know, for your body to get back. Is you got to be a little easy on yourself and judge your progress week to week.
Yes.
Instead of day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a point when, before they realized I had developed this ileus, I couldn't keep anything down. Ugh. So, you know, even water, mm-hmm. I couldn't keep it down. And they couldn't figure out why. And they were like, well, is it a complication from the blood loss or is it a complication from the surgery? Or, and then one of the nurses said to me when his shift ended, he said, get up and walk. Whatever you do, you don't want an ileus. Yeah. And I said, what is that? And he goes, don't ask. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Well, a couple hours later, I'm still having problems keeping food. Well, when I say food, liquids down. Uh-huh. And another nurse practitioner came in and she said, I think we need to do some scans. And so they brought the machine in and that's when they found out that I did have the infection.
Oh, yeah.
So that was discouraging.
Yeah.
That's what started getting me down. I was like, okay, I was supposed to be out of here tomorrow. Yeah. Now I've got this infection. But thankfully they got the infection taken care of pretty quick.
Good.
I don't recommend that either. So get up and walk. Get up and walk.
That's right. Go back to the old get up and walk.
Listen, doctors would come in and say, ooh, when they looked at me because I had the tube in my nose.
Oh,
and I was like, I'm pretty positive, but today I'm not feeling it.
You know,
it's hard
to be positive with a tube in your nose.
But every one of them would walk in and say, ooh. And I'm like, oh, man.
You're like, it's a great day, guys.
Yeah.
It's a great day.
Yeah, we can beat this.
That's all right. It's only temporary.
Yeah.
Just like the little cart at Walmart. It's temporary.
It's temporary.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm not going to take down the toilet paper tower.
Keep a positive attitude. Mm-hmm. Keep positive people around. Pray a lot. Be thankful. Because I'm thankful. Because it could have been a totally different outcome.
It could have been. Mm-hmm. What would you tell people, too, about being open? Was it scary to be open when you told people about the diagnosis?
Yes, because that makes it real. Yeah. And I'm not one, before this, I was not one to talk about things or talk in front of people, but God gave me a story to tell and I have to tell it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it now, is because obviously he has a bigger plan.
Yeah.
Because so many people have not made it through.
What would you tell people if they're referred to Dr. Zito or one of his peers, Dr. Burns or Dr. Raley? What would you tell them about how they make you feel? Just what kind of hands are they in? What would you tell them?
You may meet them as a stranger, but by the time it's over, they're family. Because they really care about you.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that's just a good way to sum it up.
Yeah.
Is you meet people as strangers, mm-hmm. and by the end, they're family.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you spending time with us today.
Thank you.
It's actually going to air during March, which is Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
So we're going to use your story to encourage people to go out and get their colonoscopies.
Okay.
If they hadn't, and to raise awareness of colon cancer during the month of March.
Okay.
So this will just be perfect. Well, Missy, thank you so much for talking to us today. And our hope is that you'll go out and get your colonoscopy this month during colon cancer awareness month, and don't delay. You know, you might feel great. You might not have any symptoms or family history, but like Missy said, it doesn't matter if you're 45, especially though, if you do have a family history, if you do have some symptoms that don't feel right in your gut, talk to your doctor, call your doctor, go see them, get a referral to a gastroenterologist and see if you need to get that colonoscopy. And if they say yes, go do it. You will not regret it. Even if you don't have colon cancer or polyps, you'll have peace of mind. So until next time, we hope you join us again. Thank you so much, Missy, for joining us today. We're going to continue to share your story because it's amazing. Keep shouting it from the rooftops.
Yes.
And we appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode of A View from the Bed, A Patient's Perspective. We hope that you found it helpful. We hope that it helped you make your healthcare decisions. We hope that it made you feel a little more comfortable with your own journey, and we hope that you'll join us next time.